Yo, what is going on, my fellow wrestling fans? Welcome to a Thanksgiving / Survivor Series week edition of what we like to call the Clash of Champions, where we talk about the different personalities, storylines, controversies, and all everything in between that center around this world we know and love as professional wrestling. I am your host, the vegan you believe in, Conscious Kurt, aka the professor in the flesh as always, and my co-host needs no introduction, but fuck it, he's gonna give y'all one anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is his tag team partner, Jonathan Randall, the Adventure at your guys' service, and welcome to our wrestling podcast. Today is our prediction episode as Survivor Series is on the horizon this Saturday. You can catch it live on Peacock this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, in Vancouver, British Columbia. 6 p.m. is the start time.
Yes, yeah, special start time for Survivor Series this year is 6 o'clock as opposed to 7, 8 o'clock. And yeah, if you're living in the New York area, there's actually a bar on 32nd Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. You can watch Survivor Series if you get there early. Unfortunately, I can't make it because I'll be working that night. But yo, it's a good spot. You get there early enough, get yourself a nice place to sit. You get to watch the whole show, full audio, everything. It's a good-ass time, yo.
Looking forward to it, man. I saw that bar on one of your stories since you moved to New York. It looks nice over there.
Yeah, I watched AEW All Out there right when I first moved here in September.
Nice.
Yes, but before we get into our Survivor Series predictions, we do have an update for both War Games matches. As this past Friday on SmackDown, we officially found out who the fifth member of Team Roman will be, as Solo Sikoa earlier in the night came out with his bloodline talking about how he wants to have an official surrender from Roman and his team, which would take place at the end of the night. And everybody was floating around ideas with Roman about who their fifth member of the team should be, like Cody Rhodes being one example, and Roman was against that. And obviously Seth Rollins refused. And then Roman basically said, yo, if it's just the four of us, that's cool. We can handle it. If we end up dying, if we end up going down, then we'll go down as a team. And then they confront the Dollar Tree bloodline at the end of the show. And as it's about to progress, we hear a familiar voice say, ladies and gentlemen, and that voice was none other than the return of the wise man, Paul Heyman.
Man, I thought they were going to wait until Survivor Series for him to appear, but no, they decided to bring him back on SmackDown, and that was just a great moment. But you'll be even greater than that, because he will say it's not going to be 5-on-4. It's going to be 5 against this fifth man, and this fifth man, for along with Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jey Uso, and Sami Zayn, that fifth person, Kurt, is none other than CM Punk.
Yes, I told you. I told you. What did I say last week?
Yeah, I know. We kind of thought it would be Seth Rollins at first, though, but no, it came to be true. It is CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk came out to a huge reaction, and him, Roman, Jimmy, Jey, and Sami Zayn fought off Solo and his bloodline, and then Roman and CM Punk hit the go to sleep and the spear at the same time while staring down each other, and they all posed together to end the show with a proud Paul Heyman standing at the apron. But the one thing that was a little suspicious was the outfit Paul Heyman was wearing.
Yeah, everybody was saying that because he was wearing a red shirt under his suit and Solo Sikoa was wearing the same thing, you know, not just that night. No, it wasn't that night, though, but like the prior couple of weeks, he was wearing the same thing. Everybody's making a lot of speculation and theorists out there are kind of, you know, making it too obvious. We don't know what's going to happen, though, but hey.
Anything is possible, but CM Punk being on the team is a huge boost for them, also a huge boost for Survivor Series. We were kind of like critical of how much this whole thing has been rushed, but with Punk being added to it, it does make it a bigger deal, give it a bigger feel, and yep. Yes, Survivor Series is going to be popping this Saturday. And funny enough, yesterday marked the one-year anniversary of last year's Survivor Series when CM Punk made his return. Damn, what a crazy night that was, son. Crazy ass night.
I can't believe it's been a year already.
Yeah, time flies, bro. And it's also the same night Seth Rollins had his meltdown when he saw that CM Punk came back. And now that Punk is on Roman's team for War Games, I think we are going to be seeing another one from him very soon.
Yeah, and I can't wait for it.
I wonder if he's going to do a temper tantrum, kind of like what Christian used to do back in 2002 every time he would lose matches.
Oh, my God.
Also on SmackDown, we had a crazy development in the women's War Games match, as during a triple threat match for the U.S. title tournament, there was footage that was shown on the screen of Jade Cargill lying on top of a car unconscious with the windshield cracked in the background, and she was taken out on a stretcher. Bianca even left the match to go tend to her, and yeah, left with Jade in the ambulance. And it came out the next day that Jade Cargill suffered a whole bunch of injuries a mile long, so many that I can't even list them. And there's no official timetable for her return, which means she is out of War Games.
Now that's sad, man. And that's going to be a big mystery on, okay, who's the one who took her out? That looked nasty, man. Laid out in a car like that.
Yeah, it looked rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was laid out in the car. Her face was scratched up and everything. Yeah, this is going to be like a female version of who ran down Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what's going to be funny? How they're going to reveal it. They should reveal it how, you remember back Shawn Michaels and Triple H, how they revealed that Triple H was the man who took him out from the video footage.
Yeah.
They should do it like that. Have like, oh, we got video footage of, you know, of, you know, who did it, and then they reveal, oh my God, it's this person who did it. Some people are speculating, Kurt, that Charlotte Flair is the one who did it.
It could have been. Other people are speculating that it was Naomi, which Naomi went off on social media considering those accusations. And also another person who's kind of seeming like it could be, considering her past with Bianca, it could be Bayley. This is a big mystery that's going to be play out in the next few weeks. This was done as a way to write her off TV because she's legitimately injured.
Oh, man. I mean, it is what it is. It happens, though. But the storyline is good, though. I like this trade of storyline. So yes. We'll see what's going to happen when she comes back.
And yeah, we'll see what happens. But last night on Raw, this has progressed even further as Bianca, Naomi, and Io were talking about who they could get as a partner to replace her. And then when Naomi brought up Bayley, Bianca wasn't having it. And then Rhea came in, and like Rhea and Bianca started getting into it. And Rhea basically said, as long as she can get her hands on Liv Morgan, she could care less who that fifth member was.
Oh.
And then later that night in the main event, we had a match between Bianca and the women's champion Nia Jax to decide who would have the women's advantage for War Games. And yo, this is a good match too. There was even one spot where Bianca actually bench pressed on Nia Jax from the top rope. Yo, that shit looked dope.
Yeah, it was an impressive impressive match, but also an impressive victory for Bianca. For a one-on-one match for her, that was a very well-deserved victory that she needed.
Yeah, not even the fact that she won, but she actually won due to help from Bayley. And even when she saw Bayley help her, she was kind of like all confused and all shocked. And then Bayley was like, yo, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And then she finished off Nia with a 450 splash, and that's how the show went off the air. So now we have our answer who Jade's replacement's going to be.
Bayley, yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling they were going to probably take one of the girls off of the team and replace her with Bayley, but the way they went about it this way, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
And SmackDown this coming Friday has already been taped, so they'll probably reveal that there. And yeah, we'll get all of our final answers for Survivor Series. And also Friday on SmackDown, we had the segment between Cody Rhodes, the WWE champion, and Kevin Owens. Yep. And yo, this got heated, son. Yo, this got really, really intense.
It got heated to the point where they had to send security out there to separate. Well, I should say separate Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, but Kevin Owens had some valid points. He was like, yo, after I fought with you to go against the Bloodline at WrestleMania 39, and I was there celebrating with you when you finally beat Roman at WrestleMania, and then you turn around and go team with him? Like, really, bro?
Good points. You have very good points. And then, you go back to the person who you've been fighting against for almost the past 2 years. So, yeah, he did have valid points. But as it was revealed a couple days ago, so I had lobbied to have this match for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series, but it won't. But it will be at Saturday night's main event.
I told you.
Again, I'm not the only one that feels that way, though. The fact that Survivor Series is in the home country of Kevin Owens, because after all, he is Canadian, and it is in Vancouver. I thought, hey, it should have been there though, but it is what it is. But the match will be on Saturday night's main event on NBC.
Yo, but great segment. I love the intensity from both of them.
Yes.
And you know it was an intense segment because Cody wasn't wearing a suit.
Oh, yeah. Right. Good point.
Yeah, shit was crazy, son. But and also, last night on Raw, another development that happened was the split between the New Day. And yo, Kofi and Xavier got into one ugly-ass argument.
I told you it was going to happen, man. This was bound. I know this was bound to happen, man. And we're talking about this celebration that they want to have. And it was bound to happen. Like, look, not all things last forever. And we saw it from the beginning. And it only got worse from there. So it's something that that was meant to happen. But I said this a couple weeks ago, that with the situation with this, the Street Profits, and then with the upcoming, you know, with Jade and Bianca, probably going to break up. We're going to see what's going to happen when Jade comes back. But with all these three elements going on, there's going to be changes made with the black wrestlers in this business, because now they're finally going to have their place on a card in a PLE.
Yes, they will. But getting into the details of what happened between Kofi and Xavier last night, they're going to have their 10-year anniversary celebration this coming Monday on Raw, December 2nd. And like they were watching like the promo for it on the screen, and they were like, you know what, let's squash everything, let's, you know, bury the hatchet, get past our feelings. And it seemed like everything was cool. And then they went into a match against Alpha Academy. And right when Kofi's about to start the match, Xavier tags himself in right away. And then Xavier would literally lose the match within 2 minutes. And that would cause this big argument between the two of them, like as they were walking to the back. And the camera actually followed them to gorilla position, like backstage. And yo, they were fucking saying some personal deep shit to each other. Like how Kofi was telling Xavier, like every time he had the opportunity, he dropped the ball, he always messed up. And Xavier basically told Kofi like he would not be the WWE champion and would have never won it had it not been for him and Big E, like carrying the load for him and fighting for him and like sticking up for him. And then Kofi basically told him the reason why you were never WWE champion or a singles champion, period, like him and Big E were, is because he was never good enough. And that's not his fault that he wasn't good enough. And Xavier just clapped back at him saying, when you had the WWE title, you squandered it in 6 seconds to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, very personal.
Ooh, I knew he was going to say that.
Oh, yeah, I told you. I'm surprised they're still having a celebration next on in December.
I think they're going to need to get drunk to get through it.
It would have been worse if they got drunk. Then a lot of stuff will come out.
A lot of stuff already came out.
No, I say no. More will come out. More.
And then they just both like walked off angrily saying, see you at the celebration, see you at the reunion. And yeah, it's going to happen next week. Next week, they're going to break up. It's happening at that reunion special. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be sad because for the last 10 years, they've been like that one act that like never broke up, never split up. And they've been through a lot together, bro, from like when they first debuted and they were getting booed and they had that horrible presentation that looked like some bullshit out of a Tyler Perry movie. And then eventually they turned heel and they caught on. And then they had the trombone and they had that long tag team title reign that lasted over a year. And they had the booty old shit, the colorful outfits. That one year they hosted WrestleMania, all the way to Kofi Mania when Kofi eventually won the title at WrestleMania in 2019. And then Big E ended up blowing up. Big E ended up winning the WWE title too. Xavier won King of the Ring. I said it a million times and I'll say it again. The success of New Day really opened the door for a lot of the success we've been seeing, like a lot of black wrestlers, male and female, have in like the last 10 years.
I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be sad to see them break up. It's going to be sad to see how it all implodes next Monday, but things like this are bound to happen sooner or later. It's wrestling.
Yeah, that is wrestling. That is the culture of wrestling. You know, you look at tag teams and factions, and you know, not all of them last forever. No matter how like good it is. You know, we've seen it, and it's the way of life in the world of wrestling. That's how the way things are. So I'm very curious on how the split up is going to happen. Who's going to make that first move to make that betrayal?
It's going to be Xavier, no doubt about it. It's funny, I was watching Raw last night actually at my best friend's house. And from watching Raw and like listening to Kofi and Xavier argue, he said that Kofi reminded him of you.
Really?
From the sound of his voice and the way he talks, yeah, he said Kofi Kingston reminds him of you.
Of me? How? Oh, because of my voice?
Yeah, the sound of his voice and the way he talks, yeah, he said it reminded him of you.
That's crazy.
I didn't catch it until he brought it up. I'm like, oh shit, maybe, oh shit, he kind of does. That's true. Yeah, he kind of does have a Kofi Kingston vibe.
Hmm.
Maybe you should come on the show next week with his 2008 accent and his 2008 look.
No.
I wasn't watching at the time, but I think there was that one segment on Raw when like him, Triple H, and a bunch of other people were in the ring. And then Triple H is like, wait a minute. Didn't you used to have a Jamaican accent?
You used to have a Jamaican accent? That was so weird.
Also on Raw, it didn't air, but also on Raw, it was revealed that Raw will now have a women's intercontinental title.
Yeah, and it was revealed this last night. And same design, but the strap is white.
Yeah, I figured they were going that direction. And more than likely, although they haven't announced it yet, the finals, I think, for that tournament will take place on the first Raw on Netflix, January 7th.
Okay. Is it the finals?
I'm sorry, no, January 6th. Yeah, January 6th, my bad.
You said the start of the tournament or the
finals? No, the finals. The finals of the tournament will take place January 6th.
Okay.
Cool. So both of them shows get a women's secondary title. It'll be a good look.
Yeah, it is good. The SmackDown gets the women's U.S. title and Raw gets the women's Intercontinental title.
Yeah, and considering that Raw and SmackDown are going to be both 3 hours in January starting then, I guess they're going to need it.
Yeah, they're going to have to need it. And the fact that, they are making that move to Netflix, you know, they're really primed on having their top stars, especially on that, mainly on that first episode and moving forward, like, you know, like CM Punk and
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. They mainly want to have them there.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah. Heavy hitters on there. You know what I mean? So this is going to this is a big move for them. So.
All right. But speaking of heavy hitters, let's get into our predictions for Survivor Series this coming Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And since we last spoke to you guys, we've had two matches added to the show. And one of those matches is going to be for the United States title. We have the megastar LA Knight defending his championship against John Rannell's favorite wrestler, Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. This is, like I said, I love how they transition Shinsuke Nakamura into this, you know what I mean? Have him, you know, to do something good, you know what I mean? Because, look, you have him to return and, you know, they don't give him nothing. It's just a waste of time, but it's not. They're not wasting his time. But I think this feud is going to extend. It's going to be like a little bit of a long feud. But, hey, LA Knight he's doing so well with that title. But I have LA Knight retaining the U.S. title.
Yeah, I also think he'll retain. And yes, I could see this feud going on beyond Survivor Series. I could see them having a rematch at Saturday night's main event or on SmackDown a few weeks later. But I think considering that this feud like just started like 2 weeks ago, yeah, this isn't going to be the one and only match of it.
Right.
But I do think LA Knight retains. So with that being said, let's move on to another match that was announced last night on Raw. During a match between Ludwig Kaiser and Bron Breakker, Sheamus came out and interfered and attacked Ludwig Kaiser, and that caused Bron Breakker and Sheamus to get into a brawl, and then Kaiser jumped in and he started brawling with the two of them, and they all had to be separated by security. The whole thing was a fucking shit show. And then Adam Pearce came out and shouted out, "Enough, enough, enough!" And then he made it a triple threat between the three for the IC title for Survivor Series, and then they kept brawling some more and brawling some more. So now it is official. for the Intercontinental title. It's going to be Bron Breakker defending against Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. And, yo, I can't wait for this match, bro. This shit is going to be wild.
You know, it's so funny because you all thought it was just going to be Bron Breakker and Sheamus, though. But I like the fact that how they put Ludwig Kaiser in this match. This is good. This is good for him. He's finally getting a shot at a singles title. Good for him.
Yeah, I've been saying for a minute that like he's definitely somebody who could be like in that Intercontinental title picture. He's definitely good enough on the mic and in the ring where I could see him having a singles title.
Yeah, this is good for him, and I like it. I want to pick him. A part of me wants to pick him, but not yet. It would be good. It would be super cool if he won, though. It would be, though, but Bron Breakker's retaining.
Yeah, I think Bron Breakker does retain. I want to see him lose the title eventually to Sheamus, but I would not mind, and I hope they do this. I hope they do that match at WrestleMania.
Okay, we'll see what happens, though. But look, I'm so happy for Kaiser, though. He deserves it.
I'm happy for Kaiser, and honestly, I'm happy for us because we're going to get this match.
Yeah.
Yo, this is going to be a fight, son. These three guys in the ring together, oh, man.
The damage they will do.
Yeah, but good for Ludwig Kaiser. This is a big opportunity for him. I think he's definitely going to kill it. I think all three of them are going to kill it. I just saw Bron Breakker's okay from last night because there was this one spot where he was going to spear Ludwig Kaiser outside the ring, but then he missed. And then he hit the announce table like sternum
first, like his whole edge of the like his whole sternum, like his whole chest hit like the edge of that announce table, man. That was pretty brutal, man. Madness. Yeah.
But I do have Bron Breakker retaining. I think that's gonna turn him babyface soon, considering the reactions he's been getting, especially last night. Like the audience is like barking with him and everything. Yeah, it's clicking.
Yeah.
I just hope, fingers crossed, I hope they don't put him in the match at WrestleMania that some people are speculating they're going to put him in.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about a match against John Cena? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm hearing rumblings that maybe the match Bron Breakker ends up in at WrestleMania is against Goldberg.
No. Oh, no.
Because they both have the spear. Oh. They have the similar vibe.
No.
Look, I don't want to see it either. I'd rather see Bron Breakker and Sheamus, but that's still a couple months away.
I would rather see a potential Logan Paul versus Mike Tyson. That will do good for WrestleMania.
I wouldn't mind it. It would be a lot better than that fight we got with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson a few weeks ago.
Right. It was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Tyson. The thought of Mike Tyson coming back to WrestleMania, though, that's like the big headline right there. You know what I mean?
I've always maintained the three most important celebrities in the history of WWE were Mike Tyson, Mr. T, and Cyndi Lauper. All right, but that's another story. We do have Bron Breakker retaining, so let's get into our World Heavyweight Championship match. Yo, I can't wait for this one. This feud has been very well done the last month. We have the World Heavyweight Champion, the Ring General, Gunther, defending his title against the man he took it from at SummerSlam, Damian motherfucking Priest.
This is a match that I'm looking forward to outside of the War Games match because this was a feud that was unfinished.
Yes, it was.
And also the fact that how the way that match ended at SummerSlam, because we got to remember, Finn Balor is the one who cost Damian Priest that match. So, and then in this feud, they dove down a little bit deeper between these two. That's why I like it. It's going to be a good match. I think just as good as the match at SummerSlam, but Gunther will retain.
Yeah, and I like the segment they had last night on Raw where Damian Priest kind of punked Gunther out again, and then Gunther acted like he was going to leave the ring, and then he hit Damian Priest with the microphone and started beating him up, and then Damian Priest like rebounded until he eventually razors edged Gunther through the announce table. Yo, that was brutal. That segment kind of gave away the finish for this match for me. So I do think somehow, some way, even though Damian Priest has been getting inside of Gunther's head the last month, Gunther is going to find a way to retain.
Yeah, and this time there will be no outside interference.
Hopefully there won't be. There's a chance there could be, but fingers crossed, it's just between the two of them.
Yeah.
But I will say the build for this match has been a lot better than the build was for their match at SummerSlam.
Oh, of course. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Even though it's not going to be the main event, it feels like a real main event match.
Exactly. And that's what I'm telling you, dude. Gunther, as the World Heavyweight Champion, has really kind of like he's been elevating that title a little bit higher now. Ever than ever.
Yeah, I agree. He has.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to elevate it even more with a victory on Saturday. And we'll see who his next challenger is after that. Maybe him and Priest will feud probably longer after Survivor Series.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
And let's get into our War Games matches. Oh, yes. My favorite stipulation match in WWE nowadays. No lie. So on the women's side, we have Team Rhea consisting of Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Naomi, Io Sky, and more than likely Bayley, although it hasn't been made official yet, taking on Team Liv, which is Women's World Champion Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Women's Champion Nia Jax, Tiffany Stratton, and Candice LeRae.
You know, so Rhea Ripley forever has been trying to get her hands on Liv Morgan. Has not succeeded.
Not the way Dominic likes to.
But anyway, she hasn't got her hands on her. And plus, on top of that, with her wearing that new, face protection mask. Rhea Ripley finally needs to get it done and get her hands on her. I think her team wins at in this match.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see like a truce, I think, in that match between Bayley and Bianca finally after like all the years they've been feuding with each other. Even with Bayley being good all year, Bianca's like still giving her the cold shoulder. So now I feel like we're going to see them kind of like squash it in this match. And I think this match is going to be fun. I think this match is going to be wild, crazy, and every bit as good, if not better, than the other women's War Games matches have been. Because, yo, there have been a lot of great women's War Games matches ever since they started doing it with the women initially. Going all the way back to that first one in NXT in 2019, when, like, Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae, like, were just by themselves and they ended up winning the match. So, yeah, they've definitely set the standard high for the women's one. And even though I feel like the feud and the story for this one was very rushed, I think with the personalities and the people they have involved in it and all the stories that they can tell, it is going to be one of the standouts come Saturday night.
Do you think this match will start first?
Yeah, it'll definitely open the show. No doubt about it. It always opens the show.
Yeah. Okay.
But with that being said, I think Team Rhea wins.
Yeah.
And also another story that could play out, there could be even some beef maybe between Bianca and Rhea from what we saw in Raw last night.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, in order for them to win, they got to be on the same page with each other. You know what I mean? Because I feel like everybody's agenda is to win, though. But Rhea's agenda is like it's just Liv Morgan right now. She's just like her agenda is just focus on that one person right now. So,
also another factor you have to think about going into this match: Tiffany Stratton's Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, she could. Oh,
she could very easily cash it in, like after the match is over. Like when everybody's down, everybody's beaten up, I could see her cashing it in.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Ooh. So we will see what happens, but I do think Team Rhea will win the match. I think they're going to walk out of it with their hands raised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the main event, the match we've been waiting for since pretty much after WrestleMania, when this whole Dollar Tree Bloodline storyline first began. We have Team Roman, consisting of Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and the returning CM Punk, taking on Team Solo, consisting of Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, Jacob Fatu, and Big Bronson Reed.
This whole storyline, ever since after WrestleMania, and then when Solo Sikoa pretty much, you know, crowned himself as the new tribal chief, right? This whole thing currently has been about I forgot what it's called. It's about Roman Reigns getting that back. That's pretty much where it all settles at. Roman Reigns and his team needs to win this match because Roman Reigns needs to get that back to let the whole world know and let Sol Sikoa know and everybody else know that he is the OTC. He is the original tribal chief.
That all sounds great on paper. And in many other cases, I would agree with you that they will win. But I have a funny, funny feeling Team Solo is going to win.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They already had.
I'm going to give you two reasons why.
Okay.
One factor that could play in is Rollins being so pissed off that they recruited CM Punk to be on their team that in a way he ends up costing them the match. Mm. Or another scenario that could play out, Paul Heyman could end up turning on them.
Yeah, but it's just so weird, man, because like Roman's been trying to get that lay for a long time. You know what I mean? I want him to go ahead and get that lay and move into the next year, right? But it's like, how much more chasing do you have to do if you lose this match? You know what I mean? So it's like, look, and then you got to remember, Sol Sikoa and them already had like the first laugh earlier at that Crown Jewel. And they needed that win. They needed it. That was good for them. They needed that momentum going into Survivor Series. Because imagine if they did not win that match, it would have been this whole thing would have been like a joke. It's like, I can't take these guys seriously. You know? So they needed that momentum going into this event. I don't know. I'm still sticking to Roman Reigns and his team winning, so.
That's fair. It's a fair pick, but I have a funny, funny feeling that Solo's team's going to win. It could play out in either one of those ways. And also, there's a chance we could even see The Rock come back. Yo, I'm telling you, especially after his new movie didn't do well in the box office, he's probably going to have some free time.
I thought it was doing well in the box office.
I heard it under-delivered. Yeah, I heard like the opening weekend, the numbers weren't what they thought they would be.
That's weird. I thought the opening numbers was pretty decent for a Christmas movie. That's what I heard. But I don't know.
Regardless of whether it was good or not, there's a chance he could also show up there. I remember Survivor Series was the place where he initially made his debut. So maybe at this Survivor Series, he'll make an impact in a different way.
We'll see, probably.
Yeah, but I, in a way, have Team Solo Sikoa winning. If by some chance Roman's team ends up beating Solo's team, maybe that'll free up Solo Sikoa to go on tour with The Weeknd since he dresses like him nowadays.
Oh, God.
I got tickets. My tribal chief, I love you.
I'm probably going to have to go to Solo Sikoa for some tickets because I had to sell my WrestleMania tickets, so.
You sold them, son?
I had to sell them, dude. I had no choice, dude. It was like the payment. Like I was doing my math, and you know the holidays going on. It's just like, dude, I had to look for something a little bit cheaper than this. So I sold them. So I had no choice, and I just went through all that trouble for nothing, man. It's not worth it. It's just, again, I don't like how it's so expensive this year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm more than likely just going to go to Saturday night's main event to kind of make up for it. But I still have a feeling I'm going to end up at WrestleMania. I'm definitely still not giving up hope on that.
Yeah. I still going to go, Lord willing. No, it's just that, look, I need to hold back and just look for different routes, look for just something a bit cheaper. So
yeah, because I thought you told me you got like the upper level. I'm like, how much cheaper can you get than that?
No. I'm not talking about sitting there. I'm talking about just, dude, like those. It was because of the fact that I got it from Ticketmaster. Yeah.
Ticketmaster's a big disaster.
Ticketmaster is the devil.
Just like toxic girlfriends.
Hey, is there anything else you want to get into before we jet off?
Yeah, just two more things real fast. It also came out the other day that as of January 1st, WWE Network will no longer exist and will be officially a part of Netflix.
Yeah, outside the U.S.
Okay, yes, that made sense because I know they have a contract with Peacock for the next couple of years.
Right. If I was like, let's not scare our viewers, ladies and gentlemen. Because you got to remember, outside the U.S., there still is a WWE Network.
You know what's funny? I actually started watching wrestling documentaries that kind of slowly got me back into wrestling through watching them on Netflix, before the network was around.
Really?
In 2012, 2012-ish, they would have all those DVDs, all those documentaries, the one about Stone Cold, the one about Ric Flair, the one about the Legion of Doom, all of them. They would have all of them on Netflix. That's kind of what slowly started to get me back into wrestling was watching those.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that and The Rock coming back, those were some of the things that slowly started to get me back into wrestling again.
Oh, okay. Wow. Old Interesting. School. Yeah. But yeah, if you're living in a stage just like myself and Kurt, you have nothing to worry about because we have Peacock. But if you're outside the US, yeah, so no more WWE Network, all of the pretty much everything wrestling will be on Netflix. So
yeah, definitely. So check out for that. Also, this past Saturday at AEW Full Gear, Bobby Lashley made his AEW pay-per-view debut against Swerve Strickland, and he defeated him pretty convincingly. But one thing that was funny that he said was after the press conference, they were asking questions about how it felt to be a black world champion and a successful black wrestler and things along those lines. And Bobby Lashley kind of shut down the question, saying, "We kind of eliminated that statement now. Instead of a black world champion, it's just strictly world champion."
To a degree, I kind of understand what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it too.
It's that whole narrative. I remember when I watched the Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix, and The Rock was talking about how I'm the first black this and blah blah blah, and Vince said no, I don't see that. And that was a very honest, heartfelt thing to say. You know what I mean? Look, it's good to recognize that, for example, Ron Simmons was the first, black world champion. That, that's cool and all. But you shouldn't, just see it in that light. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to box him into a category. For instance, Denzel Washington. Calling Denzel Washington a great black actor, it's why can't he just be a great actor?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And he's far surpassed that argument, even though I thought that ranker list they posted of his 10 best movies was bullshit yesterday. Look. They didn't have John Q on that list, and Equalizer belonged at the very bottom, if not even on that list, period.
I was surprised Malcolm X was pretty low.
Yeah, I was too. Yeah, Equalizer number 5, that's a crock of shit. That movie, the first one wasn't even that great, honestly, and it did not need a sequel.
And speaking of Denzel, before we go... Yeah, I watched Gladiator yesterday, and yes, I recommend.
I heard it was over. I heard it was just whatever. I heard it was.
No,
whatever.
I heard it was pretty good reviews. But is it good as the first one? No, but Denzel did a damn good job.
Didn't expect it to be.
Denzel did a very good job in his film. So, if you're a fan of the first one, I highly recommend watching it.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. That Denzel was good in it, but the movie itself was kind of.
I heard pretty good reviews. Look, it's not going to be as good as the first one. It isn't. The first one is a masterpiece. But I enjoyed it, though. I liked it.
All right, good shit. So, yeah, if you're going to go to the movies this weekend for the holidays, yeah, go check it out. And also, I want to say happy early birthday to my podcast partner, John Randall. It will be his 33rd birthday this coming Friday. Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hope you have a good holiday, good time with your girlfriend and your family, all that good stuff. And I'm also looking forward to this weekend. It's Thanksgiving Thursday. I'm going to make my vegan Thanksgiving feast for my best friends. Also, I'm going to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, my favorite Thanksgiving movie that's actually a Thanksgiving movie, not a Christmas movie. And then do some Black Friday shopping maybe Friday and Survivor Series this Saturday.
Looking forward to it, man. Same thing. Got Thanksgiving, got football, and next day is my birthday. And then the next day, Survivor Series, man, all three. Just 3 straight days, man, of fun.
You're going to be doing a lot of drinking, aren't you?
I know. You know what's so funny? I didn't drink this past weekend. It's because of that. Because I was like, wait, I'm going to be drinking for the next... I'm going to be drinking five days straight. So, yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm not going to drink this weekend.
Make sure you stay hydrated. Make sure you stay hydrated.
Oh, of course. Liquid IVs and everything. And that goes for everybody else, guys. Stay safe. Have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving, man. Enjoy yourself. Thanksgiving is like pretty much like my favorite holiday of the year. Enjoy yourself with your family and your friends. Eat some good food and be safe, please, and have a good time.
Yes, and also appreciate, don't forget, like, even if, you know, life isn't going your way, even if things aren't perfect, maybe the way you want them to be, regardless of all that bullshit, there is always at least one thing that you can find to be thankful for. And I've learned the more you can focus on the things you do have, as opposed to dwelling on the things that you don't have and feeling sorry for yourself about that, the happier person you will be.
Right, that's the whole point about Thanksgiving, is just being thankful, you know, for everything, you know, family and friends and, you know, just anything good or just the stuff that you've been blessed with. That's the whole point of Thanksgiving. So I want to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and happy Survivor Series weekend. Happy birthday to my boy, John Randall. Enjoy Survivor Series. Enjoy your holiday. And remember, most of all, especially during this time of the year, don't be an asshole in real life or social media, because that toxic bullshit is for the birds.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Stay safe, stay blessed, and always be cool.
Peace.